huddling up with Upper Cumberland coaches and players.
The Cavaliers find their first win. Clay County gets to 2-0. Monterey holds off Cumberland County.
From UCSportsNation.com, this is the High School Playbook. The Upper Cumberland's place to talk prep sports. Built by Mountain Barn Builders. Quality products, a high level of workmanship. Mountain Barn Builders. Storage buildings, animal shelters, gazebos. Visit Highway 127 between Jamestown and Clark Range.
COVID was the big winner last night across the Upper Cumberland as three games here were postponed because of COVID-19. Some 20 games across the state postponed as cases rise. We're glad you're along this Saturday morning, the High School Playbook from Rock 93.7. As we're presented by Mountain Barn Builders, trips to Salina, trips to Smithville, Livingston before we are done this morning. But let's get things started by checking the scores from last night. Monterey improves to 2-0 on the season. They beat Cumberland County by a 21-7 score. Cookeville gets its first win. The Cavaliers beat Livingston Academy 42-0. Cavaliers held Livingston to just 100 yards of total offense last night. Cookeville rushed for 189 yards. Clay County is 2-0 on the season. They beat Clinton County, Kentucky by a 34-0 score. DeKalb County gets their first game of the season as a win, 33-14. They beat Smith County last night. Isaac Knowles, 67-yard punt return for a touchdown for the Tigers. DeKalb led that game 20-0 at the half. Stone Memorial beats East Ridge 47-21 to score their first win of the season. Elsewhere across our region, Gordonsville improves to 2-0. They beat Watertown 16-9. Cascade downs Cannon County 25-0. Macon County wins over Westmoreland 14-6. We mentioned three games postponed because of COVID-19. One of those was the game between Upperman and Trousdale County. Adam Kane is head coach of the Bees and joins us at Chick-fil-A on Interstate Drive this morning. Was it even more difficult being that it was week two to have the kind of stop last night and not be able to play?
Yeah, it really was. Everybody tells you you're going to make the most improvement between game one and game two. And so we were looking forward to doing that. It was also going to be a pretty testy environment up there in Hartsville. We'd heard all week about how good a program that was, you know, top to bottom for the last 40 or 50 years. And so it was going to be a pretty good measuring stick as to where we were. But this thing's here and it's not going away. And, you know, we're going to have to figure out ways to manage it. And that's, the week started off with us, Upperman, having a couple positive cases in our program. And so I contacted Blake Satterfield, the Trousdale coach, and just told him to be on standby with it. And but we kind of stabilized, and, most of the deals by the end of the week were just our JV kids. And so we were planning on putting our varsity on a bus and going up there and playing, and we were looking forward to it. But then I woke up Friday morning, to a message from him saying, hey, call me, I got bad news. And apparently three or four of their, two-way guys had come down with it or had been contact traced out of the game. And so it's unfortunate. It's very frustrating. You hate it for the players. Because, good programs, there's a lot of work that those kids put in to showcase what they've done 10 nights out of the year. It's not like basketball and baseball where, they spend all their seasons rescheduling and changing this and changing that. Football is something where you got to have a week to prepare, sure, or you feel like you're kind of cheating the game a little bit. And, so it's not as easy as everybody thinks just to, hey, they, they postpone, we'll grab a game here. I think it's kind of disrespectful to the game to think that you can treat them like a scrimmage game. If we'd have found out Tuesday, maybe we would have picked something up. But Friday morning at 10:30, I didn't feel like it was the right thing to do. And here we are. It's 2021. It is what it is. I mean, this is part of the game now. So we'll try to learn from it and move forward. I had another long talk with the players about, this is where we are right now, and we'll do whatever we can. And myself and my coaches have become expert cleaners of the locker room in the last year and a half, and I guess we'll continue to do that, and hopefully this thing will let up soon.
I know coaches are creatures of routine. Have you kind of just had to train yourself over the last year and a half that, you know what, it's going to happen?
I have done a poor job of training myself. I turned 50 last season, and a creature of habit is an understatement. It's amazing how each season I can very quickly fall right back into the same routine that's been a good routine, and I'm not saying that in a negative way. It's film on Saturday and Sunday, practice plans. It's almost like it's second nature to me. The thing that's difficult is you're a text message away from everything being flipped upside down, and that's hard for someone like me, a creature of habit, to accept. But at the same time, it's
that doesn't do any good to get frustrated and upset.
It doesn't.
Because it just doesn't. It's not going to change.
That's what's I'm having to learn and adapt to something that happened the other day in practice. Trousdale's a wing T offense, and they're really good at it. And so, I sat there in my practice planning and drew up 24 what we call play cards so the scout team can run it. And we practiced them a little bit Monday. So I was expecting Tuesday to have a pretty decent look, from my scout team so that we could get ready, for the speed and execution that they were going to give us. Well, I didn't quite get the look I was expecting. And so my blood was boiling a little bit because I knew, what we were about to face on Friday night, and I needed to simulate it. And my blood boiled, pretty much the rest of that practice. But afterwards, I'm like, I can sit here and get angry and pout about how the practice didn't turn out the way I wanted it to, but we're in a situation right now where not just the players, but the assistant coaches, even the parents of the players to a certain extent, they need a different kind of leadership through this unfortunate deal that we're having to face with this virus. And so it struck me pretty hard that I don't need to go in there and blast any coaches or players. I need to try to, really display some different leadership skills in terms of navigating this program, what it needs at the time through this thing. And so, we talked about getting the scout team fixed a little bit, but I didn't go scorched earth on anybody. So I'm learning as I go, and by no means an expert, but I'm sure there's going to be several more scares and delays and disruptions moving forward.
Adam Kane is the head coach at Upperman. This is the high school playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. When you went back and watched the film of the Cookeville game, were there things even beyond what you saw as the game was playing out that made you happy?
Yeah, my big takeaway from that thing was we wanted to make sure that we had a cumulative effect on them. You know, it seems kind of counterintuitive because they've got twice as many players as we've got. But, you know, this is my fourth year at Upperman, and the kids, for the most part, have bought into kind of the philosophy that I have, the culture that I've tried to create. If you come watch us practice, you'd see really what I mean. We try to be physical, and we try to, you know, on both sides of the ball, and we try to play with great effort. And you know, I think a lot of times that can have you may not truly be the most physical team, but if you do it 55 plays in a row, both sides, I think it can have a cumulative effect in a football game. And that one sure looked like it did. You know, about that 8 minute to 4 minute mark of the fourth quarter is really winning time or quitting time. And I tell my kids that all the time. And that particular game, it turned out in the right way for us.
I was thinking as you were talking that Jeff Fisher used to talk about that, you know, what made Eddie George so effective in the Titans offensive line during that era was that by the third and the fourth quarter, you didn't want to see that coming at you.
Absolutely.
And so it makes a difference, not just physically, but it may be as much mentally. Mm-hmm. You don't want it anymore.
Yeah, it's human nature. You know, it's the biggest part of our job as coaches, no matter how you want to look at it, no matter how you want to slice it up, is we're trying to get 55 or 60 teenage boys to fight against human nature every single day. And it's a battle, it's a struggle, but we all go through it. The best programs, the ones you see, used to be Cookeville every year, but now it'll be Chattanooga. The ones you see there winning championships every year are the ones who have overcome the human nature part of it. They don't mind the physicality. They don't mind the heat. They don't mind the elements. They don't mind the discipline that it takes. You know, it's the rest of us that are still trying to you know, either figure that out or, you know, in our program, we're just trying to keep taking those steps every single year. And I think we have. I like where this thing's going. But it's, you know, it's – they're trying to legislate the difficult stuff out of the sport. So that makes it even more of a, you know, important factor in the game. And I'm not – listen, I'm not sitting here being a proponent of helmet-to-helmet hits or that sort of thing. But kind of what you alluded to just a minute ago, how many times does that linebacker want to meet your running back in the C-gap of the game? And, you know, if you've got a big, strong kid that is running the ball hard, that decision becomes maybe more and more of a business decision as that game wears on. And so that's kind of what we're playing on. I'm not saying we're always there. For sure, last year we were not, you know, we were kind of the recipient a little bit. We were younger and a little weaker and not as experienced. But maybe this year, hopefully, we can be the guys carrying the sledgehammer more often than not.
Than getting sledgehammered.
Yeah.
Finally, as you worked through your practice week last week, what were a couple of things that you really wanted to focus on to improve from that first game?
Well, we have had an interesting preseason ever since June. You know, we lost our center last year. You know, we lost two starters, and one of them was our center. And so we got 20 of them back, but we've struggled with that continuity. The center quarterback exchange has been, in our scrimmages, in our practices, it's always been kind of a something that we need to improve. And it hit us again in the Cookeville game. you know, I'm not a prediction maker, but, you know, that could have been a less of a nail biter there in the fourth quarter had we not had some bad exchanges. So that was that has been one of our, you know, points of emphasis every practice since June. The other thing is, you know, just execution wise offensively, you know, being a team that can, what I like to call, mindlessly execute. And you know, we're not there yet, but we're getting better. And then a lot of special team stuff. You know, you try to throw some younger guys in and fresher bodies in on the special team side of it. Well, they don't always realize that it's an effort play, and you know, and we gave up a few punt returns that I didn't enjoy watching to Cookeville. You know, a lot of it was their kid making a great play, but we saw some effort issues that we really kind of buckled down on. You know, when young guys get on the field, they think they're going hard, but they're really not. And if you can point that out on film and then back it up with, you know, 10 or 12 practice reps, it tends to have an impact. You know, the big thing that I struggle with not having played last night is we work really hard trying to get our kids in shape, but really, truly, the only way to get in shape is to play yourself into shape, and we missed an opportunity to do that. Our opponent this coming up week, Cumberland County, you know, now they've got two games under their belt, so they've got the advantage on us there. But
and there's a difference in game in shape versus in shape.
Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah. There's no doubt. And a big part of it is at this level, especially where we don't have as many true two-way players, but we've got a lot of kids getting reps on both sides of the ball. The big thing is the kid himself learning how to manage his way through that, you know, because you've got the butterflies, you got the anxiety, and that takes its toll on you a little bit. And if you don't know how to manage those emotions as well as how to get yourself through a ball game, it's something you have to learn, and the only way to learn it is to be out there on the field on Friday nights.
So, or play nine of a drive,
yep,
you know, where a team's trying to march down the field.
Yeah, yep.
I think it's a great point that people sometimes overlook. Hey, sure do appreciate you coming by today and visiting with us on the High School Playbook. We look forward to seeing you guys back on the field next week.
Yes, sir. You know, I get down on my knees every night and pray for protection, and hopefully we can get it back out there. Thank you all for having me.
Adam Kane, head coach of the Upperman Bees. Thank you for spending this Saturday morning with us, the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. We'll talk about week two of the high school football season. Cookeville and Livingston Academy collided last night on the campus of Tennessee Tech. Cookeville a winner by a 42-0 score. First-year coach Dale Flatt joins us now from Livingston. Coach, I know with the score the way that it was, this might not sound like a fair question, but did you see some things that you liked better from your football team last night as compared to week one?
I sure did. You know, we talked about all week about, you know, just trying to keep on and not letting down whenever something bad happens. And I think our kids, I think they fought the whole time. I think they tried to go as hard as they could. And I think they just kept on trying to play. And we had some good plays. You know, we got some first downs. We had some long passes that we caught and stopped them at different times. So I seen a lot of good things.
You knew kind of going into this season, because of the things, the players that you'd lost, the quality of the players that you lost, that there were going to be some growing pains. Is it kind of playing out kind of what you suspected?
It is. You know, we're definitely young. You know, we we have mostly sophomores out there playing, and you know, we have three seniors. We have a handful of juniors out there, you know, I guess our whole offensive line is sophomores, and you know, I knew that was going to be the case. You know, I'm not really worried about, you know, how the season, you know, we're taking it one week at a time, and I'm not worried about how the season's going to pan out or about this game or that game. I'm just wanting our kids to get better and just working on keeping the morale up and trying to keep them going.
When you are playing sophomores, especially in the offensive line, is the physical obstacle a bigger issue, or is it just knowing all the things that you have to adjust as the game unfolds? Or some of both?
Well, I guess some of both. I you know, I think, you know, those guys have never been in a, I guess, a varsity football game, and you know, it's totally different than what it was whenever they was in grade school or whenever they played a JV game, and it's a lot faster. You know, it's there's a lot of things goes into it, and you know, you're going one play right after another one. It's hard to remember the things that you're supposed to do, and that's part of it. You know, that's part of getting better, you know, whenever you can remember the things that you got to do on this play and on that play, and you know, going up against kids that's, you know, about 2 or 3 years older than you are.
What were some of the things that you liked from Friday night?
Well, the biggest thing is we didn't quit. You know, we tried to, we kept on going, and I think, you know, even at the end there, I think we had a drive or two that you know, we got way down, you know, towards the red zone, and we didn't score, but we, you know, we got down there. And you know, even on defense, I think we caused a fumble right down there. I think about the 20-yard line, on their 20-yard line, we caused a fumble. Unfortunately, they picked it up and they went on with it, you know, but we just kept on trying. And I think that's the most positive thing that I've seen, you know, out of the whole bunch. And even after the game, you know, our kids, you know, they were down that they lost, but we talked about that, and you know, that's the way it is whenever you lose a game. I mean, you're down because of it, and they care about it, you know, and they're trying to do the best they can, you know, to overcome the adversities that we have. And we talked a lot about the adversities. You know, we talked about, you know, the struggles that you have through a season and the struggles that you have, each game. And I think these kids, you know, are seeing this, and, you know, it builds character whenever you can overcome these adversities.
Talking Livingston Academy football with head coach Dale Flatt. Those three seniors, what do you count on from them in terms of not just their X's and O's, but the leadership?
Well, that's it. You know, I want them to be the leaders. We've decided that those three are going to be our captains each game, and I look to them to lead the team. You know, to try to keep the team going. They've been there the longest. And the thing about those three, you know, those are the three that stayed with it all the way through to the end. And, of course, this is their senior season. And I know these first two games are not like what they wanted it to be or what they envisioned it to be. But you know, those three are leading the team, and they're making plays, and they're doing everything they can to play as hard as they can.
There'll be plenty of time to break down the film, but at first glance, what have you noticed about Stone Memorial as you get ready for the Panthers?
I really don't know a whole lot about them. I haven't heard a whole lot. I've heard a lot about the teams that, you know, I know that they run a spread offense. I think they run a 4-3 defense, and that's about all I know about them, you know, at this time.
I guess in a lot of ways it's really about you right now.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of a challenge to me. You know, we went week one and we had something, you know, they scored on us, I guess, right after the first quarter, and our kids kind of let down. So my job was to try to keep them up through the whole game. And I think this week, you know, we kept on trying. You know, the kids just kept on working and kept on trying to do better, and they did this week. So next week we're going to work on trying to finish games and trying to score points. And you know, each week you're going to have that different thing that you got to work on.
Coach, we appreciate the time and look forward to seeing you guys back on the field next week against Stone Memorial.
All right, thank you.
Dale Flatt is the first-year head coach at Livingston Academy. That program has had several years of real success and some upperclassmen that have really built that program, and now they're trying to rebuild at L.A. Saturday morning, we talk high school football. This is the High School Playbook presented by Mountain Barn Builders. Been a good start to the season for the Clay County Bulldogs. They improved to 2-0, beating Clinton County last night, 34-0. Over 2 weeks, they've outscored their two opponents 69-0. Jake Johnson, head coach of the Bulldogs, joins us from Salina this morning. Coach, as you saw what transpired last night on the field, what really pleased you the most about your team's performance?
Resiliency. You know, when and we talk about it, as coaches, you're getting that cliche also if you're talking about getting through it. You know, and we faced it early. You know, we had a couple guys go down with injuries. Things weren't necessarily going our way. You know, we were only up 6-0 in the first half. We ended up winning 34-0, but, you know, we really rallied. And that's something that we've been waiting to see because we've not really been in that position yet so far.
And there's really no way that you can work on that in practice. I mean, that's just a game situation kind of thing.
100%. And, you know, that's just experience, you know. But, unfortunately, most of the time experience is something you get after you need it.
Yeah, you learn the bad lessons, right?
You do. You do. You know, but anyway, you know, that's what I told our guys last night. I said, you know, several things that we need to improve upon as the season goes on, but as far as the adversity and response to that and the resiliency of things, you know, it's something you can be proud of.
Two shutouts. What pleases you about the way your defense is playing right now?
You know, a lot of it is hustle plays. You know, that has allowed us the last 2 weeks to keep people out of the end zone. Is, you know, it's not necessarily that we're doing everything perfect or things of that nature, but, you know, our kids play extremely hard. We've always got at least 5 or 6 guys that you know, do a lot of gang tackling, quote unquote. So, I mean, that's the best way to contribute.
That mentality, that really starts in your off-season work, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, that's something we stress big time as coaches is rallying to the football, okay, as many hits as we can get to the football. And, you know, very seldom we call a play dead, even in practice. You know, we're not saying we've got 11 guys, you know, team tailback, but, I mean, at least they're just touching, you know, hustle to get there, and that's something that you never know what's going to happen. One or two guys might miss, so the safest practice is to get as many people there as you can.
Is there one or two guys that's kind of leading things defensively for you this season and kind of setting the tone that you want?
Absolutely. In ways, that's hard to talk about because, you know, hey, we love all our kids. You know, all our kids. We play team ball. Nobody's bigger than the team. But senior middle linebacker Wade Coons, you know, he makes the machine go. He had several times again last night, including he had an interception. return going in the sideline right in front of my face. But, you know, he's a senior. He's a warrior. The kid battles. You know, I can go on and on and on about kids in different positions. But, you know, he's really the heartbeat of that defense.
Is he one of those guys that just kind of has a nose for the football? That's a hard thing to describe, but there are guys just like that.
Yes, and that is him. You know, the kid is an old school blue collar kid, very intelligent. Also, I mean, he's worked himself into what he is today. And he's got a knack for the game. I mean, he's you know, some of our kids have told me, you know, throughout the years, it's, hey, well, you know, Wade is calling out the play before it happens. You know, he's so prepared and is immersed so much in the opponent's film. He's going to be in the right place at the right time, and it's valuable to have almost what you could call as another coach out of the defense.
But how great that your other guys realize that, and it's almost a lesson to them of, see, if you do the film work, if you do the study, here's what can happen.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and that's just preparation. I mean, takes it very serious. I mean, some of the kids jokingly call him Coach Wade. you know, I think if that's what he chooses to do in life, that's what he can. I mean, I think he'd be a great one, but he's one of those guys. He's going to be a beach digger. He's going to be the best one he can, you know, and that's why we love him.
Clay County Coach Jake Johnson is with us on the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. Offensively, are you where you want to be right now, or are there still some things on your list you want to work on?
Oh, there's still plenty we want to work on, and, you know, that goes for all three phases of the game. You know, not just offensively. Unfortunately, for us, honestly, I mean, you never would know it with the second half rally that came out, but all those reps were actually done by our first quarterback. You know, our starter got banged up in the first half, and only 6-0 tight lead there. You know, when you see that goes down, it's never an encouraging thing. So, you know, as a freshman, he played well. Our guys really behind him, but it's hard to complain about offensive production when the last two games, you know, you had almost 70 points combined. But, you know, as a coach, you're never satisfied anything.
I was going to say, coaches can always find something to complain about, right?
Oh, 100%. We're the best at it. We're the best at nitpicking and
you hate injuries, but boy, those reps valuable, so valuable for your young freshman.
Oh, 100%. And you know, that was what we talked about as a staff last night. Hey, it's great that we got to get you know, several different guys, different reps in different positions. Unfortunately, it's not because we wanted to. But at the end of the day, some of these young men got guys get banged up, and luckily we're going into a bye, an early bye we've got this next week to kind of recoup and heal up.
You like the bye this early?
It's new to me. It was not on purpose, I'll tell you truthfully. We actually had picket time scheduled for this next week, and with the cancellation of their football program late, we had to do some flopping around on our schedule to fulfill a 10-game schedule. So we're actually playing a week 9 game, and when we're playing picket week 3 as our bye. At the time, I thought it was the worst thing that could have happened. Now, circumstantial due to injuries we're dealing with right now, I greatly appreciate it.
I understand. Clay County 2-0 entering that bye week with a win last night over Clinton County. Head coach Jake Johnson, thanks as always, Coach.
I appreciate you.
For those that may not be familiar, Pickett County making the decision late in the summer that they would not play varsity football this season. the Mountain Barn Builders High School Playbook scoreboard from Friday night. Monterey 21, Cumberland County 7. Clay County defeats Clinton County, Kentucky 34-0. Cookeville wins over Livingston Academy 42-0. DeKalb County 33, Smith County 14. Stone Memorial wins over Eastridge 47-21. Gordonsville a winner over Watertown. Cascade defeats Cannon County. Macon County defeats Westmoreland. As we mentioned earlier, three games were canceled because of COVID-19. That includes Warren County and White County, Upperman and Trousdale County, Jackson County and York Institute also not able to play Friday night. Speaking of Jackson County, we have received word that Jackson County schools are going to be closed on Monday and Tuesday because of COVID cases on the rise in Jackson County. All right, let's talk some DeKalb County Tigers football. They, of course, were not able to play in week one because of the COVID issues down in McMinnville, but the Tigers got back on the field last night and took it out, in some ways, I guess, on a Smith County team that came into town. 33-14, the final score. Steve Trapp is head coach of the DeKalb County Tigers. Coach, congratulations on the win.
Yeah, I appreciate it. After not getting to play last week, it was just good to get out there and watch those guys play some football.
I bet a lot of energy and excitement for your team.
Definitely. You know, after we spoke last week, we talked about spending it positive and just expecting a hard-working and hungry football team to come out last week. It was an up-and-down week with everything that was going on, but one thing our guys did last night was play extremely hard, so I'm really proud of them for that. It wasn't always clean and pretty, but that first game of the year, you get some of that. But like I said, just really proud of how hard our guys played.
As a coach, you like that, though. You win, and then you've got this long list of things to work on, right?
Well, we'd like for it to be cleaner, but, you know, they always say that coaching speak, you should see a lot of improvement from your first game to the second. You know, we've got a huge game coming up this next week, so there's definitely some things we need to improve on. But, you know, as long as we keep preparing and practicing and working hard and, you know, just clean up our mistakes, I like where this team is headed.
Looks like from the box score that your offense really kind of set the tone in the first half of this game.
I really did. You know, we come out and went right down the field right there at the beginning, and, you know, ultimately we're up 20-0 at halftime, but we got some big special teams play in there as well. I mean, Isaac knows, like I've said for years, you know, he's made plays for us in all three phases ever since he was a freshman. But he caught a touchdown pass in the second half. He returned a punt in the first half, had an interception on defense, got a carry or two out of the backfield. So he was really a catalyst on a lot of things that we were doing. But also Kobe Barnes, our running back, was over 100 yards rushing on like 11 carries. He had two touchdowns, had one touchdown called back for a penalty. You know, so those two guys really toted the load for us offensively and played some good football for the Tigers.
Isaac can make guys miss, but I know on a 67-yard return like that, it's you got to have some good blocking too.
I mean, it was actually a situation where it wasn't the best of punts, and it was rolling around. And, you know, it's one of those things where the whole sideline was telling the whole team to get away from it, and he was the only one that didn't get away from it. He picked it up, made about four guys miss, and so there really wasn't a whole lot of blocking. It was just an ad lib on his part, you know, and once he made those first initial wave of guys who were thinking that they were just going to touch the ball, he had clear sailing. So it was and it was one of those not-so-heads-up plays on his part, but he ended up making a lot of plays for us. He had over 150 yards receiving, the big return plus the pick, so. Big night for Isaac Knowles.
So get away from it, get away from it. Okay, go, go, go. That kind
go,
of thing.
Go, yeah, one of those.
Yeah, yeah. How do you manage that? I mean, seriously, from a standpoint of a coach, because you want guys to be aggressive, but you also want them to be smart.
Yeah, I mean, he's a playmaker for us. And, you know, like I said, the ball was on the ground, but, you know, I could. Everybody else was screaming, but really I wasn't because I seen his demeanor and kind of knew what he was fixing to do. Half of me was torn, and the other half was like, he's got a shot. And it was one of those where the ball, you never know which way the football's going to bounce, but it was, you know, giving him that look that it was going to hop right into his chest, and it pretty much did. And like I said, he had to make one move, and after that was done, it was all the way down the sideline.
Steve Trapp coaches the DeKalb County Tigers. Defensively, what did you like?
Yeah. You know, especially in the first half, our guys, you know, really played hard, like I said, but they swarmed to the ball. And, you know, then the second half, you know, they started doing some things, and some of those misalignments and those first game deals that start creeping up on you, the cramps, and, you know, just trying to stay locked in. But, you know, really they scored on two plays to where we were just out of position. So we just got to make sure we fix that. But I just like how our guys, you know, we've told our guys that, you know, we can be a physical football team. We just got to make sure that our mindset stays true once we get tired a little bit. And, you know, that should get better as the year goes on and our conditioning level goes up.
Coach, is that a real part of, especially for high school players, is playing two halves and coming back after halftime and staying hydrated, but also just not letting the fatigue and the heat kind of get to you mentally?
Well, you know, like they say in the movie Little Giants, it's 80% mental, you know. So that mindset is such an important thing, especially for these teenagers. You know, they can get so high and, you know, with emotion, with good plays, and we had some of those, but then they can also dip into those valleys when bad plays hit. You know, I didn't really see that out of our guys last night. And that, we coach against that a lot. It's just one play at a time. You know, do the best you can, breathe in between, and then reset and refocus for that next one. So it's a 15 to 20 second process of getting that mind right, you know, for 3 hours every Friday night. And but before you can do it on Friday night, you have to train to do it Monday through Thursday. So it's just things they're constantly hearing, you know, so proud of our guys. You know, there were some tough moments. You know, we made some stands to where they were driving and had momentum and got turnovers and fumbles. And like I said, what they did get on us, we feel it was, you know, due to us not doing what we should be doing correctly. And we can get that fixed. We can get our conditioning level better. And, you know, like I said last week, the biggest negative was, you know, all these teams will have one game up on us. And, you know, so we had those issues that you typically see in that first game. But hopefully we can build and learn and grow from them.
And now you step into region play.
Yeah, definitely. You know, big game, Macon County, very quality football team. You know, we feel that we are one too. So I think this will be a marquee matchup this week.
Do you – I know it's easy to do this, but do you put more emphasis, obviously, on region games, or do you just try to take it every one of these games is important?
Well, I mean, you know, it's the sport. It's the opportunity to play. You know, we tell our guys, we got a phrase, we say it all the time, Walmart parking lot in Memphis. I've said it to you probably over the years, and that's not a knock on Memphis, but it is a long drive, and if we get an opportunity to play and that's where we have to play, then we're going to show up and do it. And we're not going to think about who it's against, you know. So for us, you know, we're always going to start about taking care of your job, your responsibility to prepare. Region games ultimately do mean more because it's, you know, playoff implications are on the line at home, on, away. You know, but we let all that take care of itself after the game. But in the moment and how we talk to our guys all week is, you know, take care of your business and then the business will take care of you.
Steve Trapp is head coach of the DeKalb County Tigers. They get their win last night in their first game of the season. Coach, thanks for being with us. Week two is in the books across the Upper Cumberland, high school football 2021, and we continue to battle COVID. Be interesting to see what we're able to get through this week in terms of high school games. This is a big week because it is region play, and of course, football went through the realignment process in the offseason, and so there'll be some new game matchups. For example, Monterey and York Institute will be playing as region foes this coming week. Cookeville, in a brand new region for so many years, playing in the Murfreesboro region against those schools in their county. And now Cookeville will be matched up with the likes of Shelbyville, Lebanon, Coffee County. Still going to be tough, but more like-minded schools, I think it would be fair to say, than the Rutherford County schools. Cookeville will open up their region schedule against Lebanon coming up this weekend. Big one between White County and Station Camp on deck this week as well. We'll get it all covered for you next week on the High School Playbook, 9 o'clock here on Rock 93.7, and, of course, throughout the week on ucsportsnation.com. Today's show produced by Joseph Staten, our studio producer Will Hearn. On-site, Franklin McCarthy did the work. Larry Stone, thanks for joining us on the High School Playbook.
The High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders, constructing storage buildings of all sizes for your backyard. The perfect shed, added storage from Mountain Barn Builders. Online at mountainbarnbuilders.com. Or see your building up close
Highway 127. Get the scouting report on all the week's prep action online now. UCSportsNation.com.